Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we're back. James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors will join us at 11:15 ahead of tonight's Raptors opener against the Atlanta Hawks at the Air Canada Center. 50 wins appears to be the target for the Raptors in a lot of people's mind in the Atlantic Division title. It's not like there are any expectations in these guys or anything, especially in this city because we're so used to having winning teams. It's not like we go over the top of this team. I tell you what, if this team gets off to a good start, the Raptors, and they've got 9 of 12 at home, if they get off to a good start, they're going to be the hottest thing going. Game 7 of the World Series goes tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet Ontario. It starts at 7 o'clock with our Blue Jay A Day pregame show with Mike Wilner. Wilner's guest to be named. And we're going to go to Kansas City right now, where we're very pleased to be joined by the national baseball writer for Fox Sports, John Paul Morosi. Mr. Morosi, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How's everything going?
Everything is going well. The Leafs won last night. The parade route's planned. Everything's good. The Raptors are going to win. They're going to win the NBA title. We're going to have two titles in this city.
There you go. My prediction is correct about the Leafs making the playoffs, huh?
No.
No, okay. Well, I'm still optimistic. Okay.
Okay.
Based on having watched very little hockey during this month, I am still optimistic. But as I always say, I dial into hockey the first Saturday of November when baseball season is over. So now that we have pushed this season to the limit, and I'm ecstatic about that, then in a couple days I'll kind of wake up and it'll be time for me to refamiliarize myself with the fact that Brian Gionta plays for the Buffalo Sabres.
Jeez. That you almost sound like a guy who watched a bit of the hockey game last night. And I know you didn't because you were busy at Kansas City. What happens tonight, John?
I don't know. This is going to be great. Well, here's what I'll say off the top. I believe we're in for a classic World Series game, in large part because the fact that Game 6 was a clunker. We very rarely see a series in which we have an epic Game 6 and then an equally memorable Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as though and I wrote this morning at foxsports.com, it's almost as though Game 6 becomes the original movie and Game 7 is the sequel and it just can't live up. Unless, of course, it's The Godfather Part 2, which did live up. But
yes.
There's in baseball World Series, Jeff, there are very few Godfather Part 2s. In fact, there's only one, really. So to that point, I think that the fact that we had a clunker last night almost makes me just completely certain that we're going to have a great game in Game 7. And it's been almost as though in this series the Royals and the Giants have been like two ships passing in the night. Like they've been dominant at different times, but rarely have they been having great performances in the same night at the same time, where we had one-run game and the rest of the games have been five runs or more decided at the end. So I feel as though they've been kind of swinging back and forth, and now we're due to have them collide at the right moment, and I think it's going to be a great game.
How much do you think the problems that Yusmeiro Petit had last night for San Francisco will carry over to this game? Because, we've seen a lot of these games, John, turn into routes. They're certainly one-sided games and games where there wasn't a lot of drama. But I don't know if I saw anything in any of the games leading up to this that caused my jaw to drop as much as what I saw from Petit last night, because we've just kind of assumed this guy is almost money in the bank. And well, if I'm the Giants, I come away from that game. It wasn't a great game. Obviously, no one likes to lose by that much. But that's my one takeaway. I'm looking at him and going, well, where did that come from?
Well, he's probably – it's interesting. He's been a guy, Jeff, that's been so vital to what that team has done all postseason long. And you wonder, was it fatigue? Was it just going into a situation where he was not comfortable? I looked this up during the game. Petit had never entered a game in the major leagues in which the bases were loaded, ever. Not once in his major league career. So they were asking him to do something that he really hasn't done. He's been very good inheriting a clean inning. He has not been good in that situation. So I really think that was a large part of it, asking him to do something he has never done before. So I think that's probably where that happened. And I think tonight, I think that's one reason why Bochy got him out of the game early, is because tonight he's got a chance to maybe get him in that situation where he's more comfortable in a clean inning for maybe two innings. So I think Hudson is going to have an extremely short leash, because we also know number 40, Madison Bumgarner, is going to be out there as well. So when you think about it, as disastrous as that game looked for the Giants in many ways, Jeff, the reality is they got Hudson, and then they have potentially Petit for an inning or two. They got Bumgarner for an inning or two, and they got their rested bullpen with Affelt and Romo and Casilla, who have been basically as good as the Royals group. So if they even get four innings out of Hudson, I think they'll be fine tonight, as long as they're four quality innings.
John, what do you think Baumgartner's maximum availability is in this game? Are we talking two innings? We're not talking something miraculous where he comes in and finishes the last four innings of the game or something like that, are we?
Well, I think Baumgartner could pitch. I mean, there was talk that he was available yesterday too. So Jeff, he has been so impressive in this postseason, and he is so strong. I mean, he has said numerous times the last month or so that he is feeling as good now as he has felt in a long time in terms of at the end of a season. So we're talking about a latter day Randy Johnson. That's what he is. Mm-hmm. He's basically Randy Johnson. And oh, by the way, he might do what Randy Johnson did in 2001, which was win game one, win game five, and then win game seven in relief. In which case, he'd be the first pitcher since Johnson to do that in a World Series. So I think, you know, it's hard to know Jeff on a certain level because he's never pitched on short rest. But he is so strong. He is in such great shape. And he's got that mentality that I think that knowing this is the last game of the year, this is one of those situations where you see guys do extraordinary things because they know that they can push themselves to the limit because the next game that they play is not until 2015. So I think knowing what we know about Baumgartner, it would not surprise me if he gives them two very good innings tonight. I mean, that to me, and again, that would be an extreme case, but I think two innings with what we've seen from him this postseason would not surprise me in the least.
John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I want to talk a little bit about, move away from the World Series a little bit. The Jays made something of a I don't know if you'd call it an intriguing pickup yesterday, but they claimed Justin Smoke on waivers from Seattle. That has led, obviously, the obvious extension from that is that Adam Lind, some of the trade rumors surrounding Adam Lind may in fact be true. You know, I look at Justin Smoke's numbers and yeah, there's something in there, I guess. I'm just not entirely certain though, John, that I'm willing to give up a guy who mashes right-handed pitching for a guy who might mash right-handed pitching in Smoke.
Well, I think probably part of that discussion, Jeff, is maybe a reallocation of money. I think it's going to be, you know, certainly Smoke is going to be less expensive than Lind, and so maybe, you know, I'd have to think about exactly what the delta would be between what Lind would make next year and what Smoke would make it, but it'd be pretty substantial. So maybe the thought process is you trade Lind and then use the savings on what he would have made to go out there and upgrade, whether it's a starting pitcher, whether it's a bullpen piece, knowing the bullpen really needs to be rebuilt in many ways for the Jays, whether it's potentially second base. So, I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities out there where I think they're going to have to evaluate things. And again, I think if Smoke is 60% of what Lind is, and remember, Lind also, from the standpoint of the health, is his back ever going to be healthy enough to play on turf? Mm-hmm. That's a huge question. So I think I agree with you that Lynn's numbers have been excellent against right-handed pitching. They have been. And when he played, he was great. But I think that the concern is how often he was playing. And I think that's going to be probably a key part of the calculus. If they feel like Smoke's got a better chance to stay healthy, then maybe they go that route. Maybe they get Smoke and then use that savings to then – plunge that into the either the rotation or the bullpen to make sure it's a more well-rounded club in 2015.
John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We will have Game 7 of the World Series right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and then Sportsnet Ontario. Mike Wilner gets it going at 7 o'clock with his Jay a Day pregame show. No word yet on who the guest TBA is for Mr. Wilner. Talking to Barry Davis of Sportsnet a little earlier, John, we were discussing how so many of these games have been blowouts. And I was trying to remember, it was one of the announcers, it may have even been Aaron Boone yesterday, I don't know, but somebody was talking about how we always associate managerial decisions in World Series as being those tough decisions that a manager must make when the game's on the line and, you know, everything's in play. And the point being made was this is kind of an odd World Series because Bruce Bochy and Ned Yost, they've both had to make ultimately crucial decisions either in games when they were losing badly or games where they were winning rather heavily. It's been a different World Series for these two managers, hasn't it?
It has been. And that's where, to that point, and Aaron is always very astute on these, and it's an interesting point because you think about, should Bochy have taken Bumgarner out of Game 5 to preserve him for Game 7 more once that game got a little bit lopsided towards the very end? Some decisions where Ned Yost went to his best relievers when he was behind with Herrera and Davis. Was that a risky move even in Game 5? And will that affect their effectiveness tonight? The way Bochy ran his bullpen last night, for the most part, I mean, the Petit move, I would say it was questionable because you were asking somebody to do something he's never done, which is come in with a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there have been some decisions that are second-guessable. But you're right. They've been decisions that have been made at key moments in an effort to try to preserve a game or stay in a game. Obviously, in the case for Ned Yost in Game 4, they had a chance to win that game early and it unraveled on them because maybe they had to go to different relievers than they wanted to earlier in the game in a high-leverage situation. So all those factors, I think Aaron makes a great point. I think you're right. I mean, they've been decisions basically either made to try to keep yourself in a game or for the betterment of the long term to try to preserve the bullpen, which I think Ned Yost did in Game 5 and which Bruce Bochy did to an extent in Game 6. So as a result, we would think both pens are rested and ready, which is why I do believe it's possible, as strange as it sounds, it's possible for Guthrie and Hudson to do a good job in this Game 7, even if each only pitches in four innings or, mm-hmm. or into the fifth inning, as long as that number of runs allowed is a low number. Give us your best effort, even if it's not as long as you want it to be. I don't care. There's 11 other pitchers on the staff, so let's just make sure that number in the runs allowed column is a one or a zero. And I'm not so much concerned about the innings pitched. I'm concerned about the number of runs you give up. And I think if they take that mentality to the mound and execute it well and are efficient and effective for however long they stay on the mound, I think that's the plan tonight. And it wouldn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise the pitchers to see action in the bullpen at any point, because that's how you have to do it. This is your season is on the line at any given time.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Who wins and who's the World Series MVP?
Well, at the start of the World Series, I picked the Giants, and I'm going to have to switch a little bit just because we've seen 9 straight home teams win Game 7s. The Royals are playing at home. I do think because of that it's going to have a factor. So we'll say Royals win and Yordano Ventura becomes World Series MVP. How about that?
I like that very much. Mr. Morosi, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thank you. And like I said, I'll be more conversant on my second favorite sport next week. But this week for me, it's all baseball, my friend.
We may have to bring you in as a hockey insider.
All right. Sounds good.
Just remember, pucks in deep.
All right. Got it.
All right. Take care. It's John Paul Morosi. He's a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. I have no idea what his Corsi is, but I bet it's pretty good. Of course, I have no idea what Corsi is anyhow. Game 7 of the World Series goes tonight. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. John Paul Morosi changing his pick after picking San Francisco to win the World Series, as I did San Francisco in 6. He's going away and he's got Kansas City because the home teams generally do well in Game 7. I'm going to stick with the Giants. to the bloody bitter end. Even though I have to admit, I've got very, very little confidence in them tonight. And we made the point yesterday in this show that I thought in a lot of ways the Royals had San Francisco exactly where they wanted them. Ahead 3-2, but with pitching matchups that didn't favor the Giants in any way, shape, or form. This matchup, Tim Hudson, this is going to be it for Tim Hudson. Tim Hudson will throw tonight until his arm falls off, essentially. And Jeremy Guthrie is a guy who, down the stretch, has been really, really good, quietly good for Kansas City, quietly efficient, quietly effective. And this is game seven. You generally get a sense going into that game of what's going to happen. Even the game seven I covered in 2001, the Diamondbacks and the Yankees, even though the Yankees blew the lead, you still kind of had an idea that the developing storyline, which was Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson tag teaming the Yankees, that somehow it was going to hold true to form in game seven. I mean, you get that sense. Sometimes stuff just feels like it's going to happen and it ends up happening. I have no clue. I have no clue what to expect in this game. I really don't. Tim Hudson could give the Giants five and a third good innings. He could be gone in the second. I have no clue. So I'm basing my Giants pick, admittedly, on a little bit of that Giants magic coming through. I do hope we have a competitive Game 7, because there's nothing worse than a Game 7 blowout. There just isn't. There's almost a monotony to it. If you're going to have a Game 7, it's got to be a close Game 7. I'll be watching that game while I'm at the Air Canada Center, the Raptors and the Atlanta Hawks. Finally, the Raptors' regular season gets going tonight. It is not an overstatement to say that this is one of the most eagerly anticipated regular season openers for any Toronto team in any of the three major sports in 5 years, maybe more. The Toronto Raptors won a lot of people over last year. Hardcore basketball fans, accidental basketball fans, and just general sports fans. Just general sports fans were won over by the Raptors last season. So the Raptors will get the regular season going against the Atlanta Hawks tonight. James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. James, thanks so much for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
A little different tone, a little different expectations for this Raptors team than the first group of Raptors you were with. I think it's safe to say. What is the biggest difference you've noticed in your return to this team?
Just growth. You know, we added different pieces. Everybody's buying into Dwayne Casey's system, and you know, it was successful. We seen it was able to be successful, and I think it's just more confidence in the guys to buy in and be ready to play hard for each other.
You played against these guys last year. What was the difference between this team last year and the team that you played for, the Raptors team? Were they just more tougher? Were they just tougher?
I believe they were definitely tougher, you know, but at the same time, I think the plays that they're running, you know, same plays as last year, or added on a couple of more plays as well, more oiled machine than it was last year, and you see where they were able to go. You know, most of it was heart and determination, and you have a group of guys who just want to win, but now we're adding in the mental aspect of the game along with the toughness and the pride of wanting to win. And it just makes it easier and more fun to play that way.
Are the Raptors players aware, do you think, of what the expectations are on them in this city?
I think we all do, but at the same time, we got a job to take care of, and we just want to play one game at a time. You know, we know our fan base is crazy, and we're excited to play in front of them, and we're excited to have them. But at the same time, we got to continue what we're doing and don't buy into too much of that, where we can get big heads or mm-hmm. too much, but we don't have that same grit that we had last year.
your development as a basketball player and as a person has been well documented. I mean, you have said you're a different guy now than you were here originally with the Raptors. And I was talking to Matt Devlin just a couple of minutes ago on the show, and I said, you know, one of the things that you strike me as being is you strike me as being the type of guy who knows what he has to do now to be successful on a very good team. Now, there's a difference between doing that on a team that's, you know, kind of under scuffling for a playoff spot or may not be that good compared to a team that a lot of people think could win the division. Are you just more comfortable now with who you are as a basketball player? And is that the reason that it allows you to fit in with a real good team?
Yeah, I think a little bit of that. But at the same time, though, it's you know, I was on a real good team with a lot of good vets last year with Memphis. And, you know, what I was able to do down there, you know, gave me a lot of confidence, you know, rebuilding, starting in the D-League, finding my winner back and doing things I have to do on the court and off the court to be successful, you know, really, really helped me out. But last year, as a total, coming in with Memphis and going to the playoffs again and seeing what kind of heart they had and what kind of expectations they have for me, you know, just different roles for different teams. And this role asks for something different, or this team asks for a different role that I'm willing to buy in.
Did you learn a lot from watching a guy like Tony Allen?
Man, I learned a ton from him, but not only him, you know, just his heart, but, you know, Tayshaun Prince, I learned a lot about how just being in the right position could make everything easier and take a lot of energy off of you, even though you're an energy guy, you know, just being in the right spot. So, like I said, I had a lot of good vets last year that I really learned a lot from and, you know, still talk to these guys and still try to develop more winning habits.
What do you think, James, for you will constitute a good season?
Man, I just want it to be an injury-free season, and then from then on out, it'll be good. You know, I want just team goals. I don't want no individual goals for anybody on our team.
Mm-hmm. You're focused on the team as a whole and on where you guys are in the standing.
Right. Just how are we going? What we're going to do and how we're going to do it to be successful and go further than what they did last year.
James Johnson of the Raptors joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It's been obviously an interesting offseason around the NBA, especially in the East. The Miami Heat have been broken up a little bit. I mean, certainly LeBron is in Cleveland now, and you know, Miami still has Bosch and Wade. I mean, they're still a force to be reckoned with. But, James, is there a sense, do you think, not just among the Raptors players, but among the players in the East in general, that this conference may be a little more open? Not to take anything away from Cleveland. Cleveland is a good team. Cleveland will probably be the favorites in most people's mind. But is there a sense among players in the East that this conference might be a little more open than we've seen in recent years?
Yeah, I can't speak for other teams. I can just speak from ours. And I know we don't care who wearing the jerseys on the other team or who we're playing on the other team, we expect to win, and we think we can win every game. You know, with our guys, leaders like Grievous and Lowry and DeMar, you know, they really buy into everything we're doing. And when they can have a team, including myself, believe in us and believe in we can win every game, then we're not worried about what other guys are on other teams. We're more worried about ourselves.
James, it's good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. Best of luck, and
thanks,
stay healthy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take care. That is James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors and the Atlanta Hawks tonight get the regular season going. Again, we're all kind of jacked about this regular season. Really looking forward to this. That was such a fun ride last year. And as I said, even if you're not a hardcore basketball fan, you really got to have something wrong with your sports soul if you weren't a little energized and engaged by what the Raptors did last year. Just the way they played and some of the personalities in that team as well. And we appreciate James joining us, taking time off ahead of tonight's regular season opener between the Raptors and the Atlanta Hawks. So you heard James Johnson talk about the Raptors' focus. They're just focused on you know, taking it a day at a time and not worried about players in other uniforms. You know, it's sometimes the cliches actually hold true. You know, I mean, sometimes there's a tendency to kind of just look at a cliche and roll your eyes. Sometimes they do hold true. And if you're the Raptors, especially with this type of start with 9 of 12 games at home, you probably ought to be looking at just one game at a time. You probably ought to be focusing on what you have to do in that particular game. And you know what? If you're a serious playoff team, as these guys are, you got to take advantage of 9 to 12 at home, and you got to take advantage starting tonight against the Atlanta Hawks, a team that's going to be in the playoff race. In a lot of ways, as Matt Devlin said, the Hawks and the Raptors, they're kind of similar. The difference is this Hawks team now has a healthy Al Horford, something they didn't have last. So I want to talk about the Raptors. I want to talk about the hype around the Raptors. Just a very simple question ahead of the opener. Do you think you, cynical yet sharp Toronto sports fan, do you think the Raptors are being overhyped? I don't. I think it's pretty clear what they are. I don't think that a saying you expect this team to win 50 games is overhyping them, because it's a pretty good team. And I understand there's an assumption of growth when you make that prediction. But I want to have this discussion. Are the Raptors being overhyped? 416-870. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Sometimes overhype is good. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You can join the conversation on social media. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. You can use the hashtag Blair Show. There are big expectations in this team. We know that. Ryan Wallstad of the Sun has them winning the conference. Just looking at his picks right here. Eastern Final, it says right here. Cavs over Raptors. That's a pretty ballsy pick. I think these guys are going to win the Atlantic Division. I think they're entirely possible of winning a playoff round. And I'll tell you, I like their chances in the East this year. As I said yesterday, I know how good Cleveland's good. But the team that I'm looking for as being the team that's going to stand in their way is the Chicago Bulls. And if Derrick Rose gets hurt, don't look now, folks. There may be a window of opportunity here. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Let's start off with Corey in Toronto. You're in Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Are we overhyping the Raptors?
I don't think so at all. I've been a fan for 20 years, and I'm so glad what they've done this year to add the pieces that they did. And I think they can win 50 to 55 games this year, the way the East is. And that's the way I see it. This is the best team they've had since the Vince Carter days.
Corey, let me ask you this about the East, because I'm with you. I think the East is really wide open. Mm-hmm. As a Raptors fan, as someone who's been a fan for 20 years and gone to the games, give me the one thing you see from this Raptors team so far that you haven't seen from previous teams. I know we've just seen the preseason, and a lot of what we're going on is just people talking and analysis, but what's the one thing you see in this team that you haven't seen from previous Raptors teams?
Defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying into the defense, which is the best thing they've ever done. Because even with the Vince Carter days with Charles Oakley, Antonio Davis, they were good defenders, but this team, all of them have bought into defense. Vince Carter wasn't a very good defensive player. Tracy McGrady wasn't a good defensive player. Yet Alvin Williams, who is a decent point guard, he could cover some of the defensive abilities, but they weren't as good as the defense as what they have now. You have one liability with DeMar DeRozan, that's it.
Right. Corey, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Corey's got him for 50-55 wins, which kind of that's, I think, the area we all expect. I don't think 50 wins is a reach for these guys. 55, I mean, you've got to have a lot to go right, get 55 wins. As Matt Devlin pointed out, this is a team that's only won 3 overtime games in the last 2 years. They were 3-8 in games decided by 3 points or less. I mean, if you're gonna win 50 games, if you're going to win 50 or 51 games with the group you had last year, you have got to have much better late-game decision-making. And I think most of us just assume that a full year of Gravis Vasquez and Kyle Lowry and Lou Williams late in the game, a full full year of those three guys, that that might be the thing that makes a difference this year. Jay in Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks a lot for taking my call, firstly.
No problem.
Secondly, I don't think it's wrong to be too optimistic about the Raptors. I think they showed a lot last year coming together as a group. They really played together as a real unit for the last three quarters of the season. And I think the camaraderie that they developed and the unity that they've developed, it's going to show this year. And I think going off of that core and only adding certain pieces, which would only help us in the defensive end, like your previous caller mentioned, is only going to help the production of the Raptors this year. Also with the climate of the East, seeing how there are only two maybe teams that are known to be one and two slots, I think the Raptors have a fair shot of maybe finishing top five for sure. Top three, I would hope. And I've been watching them for a long time. One thing I'd like to mention is that I don't know if people give enough credit to DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that every year he's stepped up his game in one way or another. He's a bit of a gym rat, and I like that every year he's developed one facet of his game. This year, the dribbling. And I think that's something he really needed. So it'll be nice to see how it kind of plays out and unfolds this year in the season.
Yeah, Jay, I'm with you. I think we need to make a bigger deal of DeMar DeRozan. Michael Grange has a great piece on him on the website, and Dave Zarum has a piece in the magazine as well. There's a lot to like about the way this guy has gone about developing himself as a person and a player. And I think we need to make a bigger deal of that. And I think maybe Toronto sports fans in general need to make a bigger deal about that, because I don't think we've given this guy enough credit. And it might seem strange to say, the guy went to the All-Star game. The guy was part of Team USA in the summer. But I think the city needs to give him, I think the city needs to give him a lot more credit. I think he might be the most special athlete we have in the city right now. I mean, I guess you could go with Jose Bautista. I'm not certain about the Leafs. Maybe Bautista. But even Bautista, I don't think, is as special an athlete as DeMar DeRozan is. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We'll get to your tweets as well. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back, Hockey Central at noon. We'll have Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. They will be joined by Anaheim Ducks assistant coach Scott Niedermeyer at 12:30, and at 12:40, Pittsburgh Penguins head coach Mike Johnson. So again, Millard, Kiprios, McLean, Scott Niedermeyer at 12:30, Mike Johnson, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, at 12:40. We continue our discussion on the Toronto Raptors right up to that point. On Twitter, Gord Tomlin: Raptors will go as far as Amir's ankles and Ross's development take them. DeMar, Kyle, JV solid and bench is improved. Kiko Baller: hype for this year? Not at all worried. An injury-free year might result in an East final. 51 wins. Book it. 51 wins seems to be one of the operative figures people are throwing around the operative win total for the Toronto Raptors this year. Are we overhyping them? 416-870-0590. *590 or 1-888-666-0590. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Are we overhyping the Raptors?
Not at all. The reason, because of this. I remember Paul Jones saying last year that the Raptors were all developing players and they were winning at the same time. They were beating the system last year. This year, they're destined to win more games. I really think they're going to win about 52 games, and the reason is because of this. Chicago also has two rookies, Nikola Mrotic and Doug McDermott. I don't know if they're going to be those guys who are going to be scoring points, because Chicago is more of a defensive team, and they rely so much on Derrick Rose and his offense. So, and the Raptors, they still have the same core, and not only that, they added a couple pieces with James Johnson and Lou Williams, and those players are a type of players that could take the Raptors to another step. So I believe that that there's no hype whatsoever. And not only that, I really believe the East is a lot tougher than a lot of people think it is, because I think Atlanta got a little bit better. Brooklyn stayed the same. Washington will get better. And one more team, I forgot, but yeah. And Charlotte. And so I believe that this is going to be a tough year for the Raptors, but they will get 52 wins. So that's what I feel. Thank you.
All right, Rock, yeah, I appreciate the call. 51, 52 wins and maybe a spot in the East Final. That's what a lot of people seem to be saying. I'm not going to rule out a trip to the East Final. I'm not prepared to go that far. 51, 52 wins. And if you're the type of team that wins 51 games, I'll take chances with you in the playoffs. If you can win 51 games, I like your chances. May not be the best team in the East, but I like your chances in a series. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Are we overhyping the Raptors? And if we are, it's kind of fun, isn't it? Mark in Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We overhyping the Raptors?
Just a little bit, but I think it is fun, Jeff, and thanks for letting me on your show. I'm a bit of a newbie to this basketball thing, but it is becoming fun. I think they're about a 44-45 win team. Okay. I don't see half the conference tanking this year to get down to the bottom. So
true.
There's going to be some improvement on the bottom teams. I think Washington is a team people should not be sleeping on. I don't think Miami's going to suck, and Cleveland is who Cleveland is. Derrick Rose will determine Chicago's future. I think for the Raptors, it's on Jonas Valanciunas and Terrence Ross, their development. If Valanciunas can become some sort of a post presence, especially defensively, I think they've got a chance, but I'm not sure that that's his game. And Terrence Ross could be a freak if he just developed properly. So I think it's going to be great to look forward to this season, but I think we're maybe hyping them up just a little bit too much.
Mark, I appreciate the call. Scotty Bowman always used to say that, probably still does say, that if you take a look at teams that go on to win championships, you quite often see, it's not always a linear progression, you quite often see a good season, kind of a breakout season, an emergent season, followed by a little bit of a step backward, not a total falling off the face of the earth, but followed by a little step backward, maybe a little bit more disappointment than you expect. And then the third year of that cycle, you see the team really take a step forward. That's a great point by Mark. Teams aren't rushing to tank for a draft pick this year. There are a lot of other teams that are looking around at the East, just as the Raptors are looking around at the East and going, maybe we'll take our chances with Cleveland. You know, take our chances with Cleveland compared to a Miami Heat team with LeBron. Harjot in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up?
How's it going, Jeff?
Good
first-time
man.
Caller.
Welcome.
Thank you. Everything that people have been saying so far is kind of true with JV and Ross and the development. But the biggest thing is the chemistry, I think. We're the team that came back with the same amount of people as last year. The only other team that I think that has done that is the Spurs. I know, obviously, we don't have as much of success as them, but that chemistry is huge in the East, especially when everyone else in the East that's up there doesn't really have the same chemistry. I think the Bulls, maybe you can say they do, but they still have a lot of question marks.
Atlanta's bringing back a lot of guys, and they'll have a healthy Al Horford. But I know what you mean. Yeah, a team that did what the Raptors did last year and surprised the way the Raptors surprised last year, bringing basically the whole team back.
Yeah, and yeah, just exactly what you said with Atlanta. I mean, there's injuries. Obviously, injuries you can't really predict with anyone, but just everyone knows their role. Last few times, the Calderon and T.J. Ford, when they had there was a dysfunction and no one really knew their roles, but now everyone knows. I mean, James Johnson came back and everyone knows who he is too as well already. He can easily gel back in with the unit. It's just, I think everyone's just going to come back this year and everyone knows their role, knows what to do and has a structure, a blueprint that they can follow, which is a lot easier.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it'll also, I think, help that they've got a guy like Lou Williams down the stretch when it comes to crunch time, because it's the one thing this team hasn't always done well, and that's make the right decisions late in games. Lou Williams should help in that end. I mean, ultimately, it's still going to come down to, by and large, late in games to Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Those are the two guys you'll want to have the ball. But if you've got Lou Williams in there as another option, if you've got Lou Williams in there as another brain in the last minute of the game, that can make a big, big difference. It's not just a guy who wants the ball late in the game. It's a guy who wants the ball late in the game and is also prepared to distribute it late in the game. And the guy who makes the right decision when it comes to where to pass the ball. And a guy who can follow the coach's orders. It's having another basketball brain out there. John in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. In terms of thinking if the Raptors are being overhyped or not, I would say they're being overhyped more than we're used to. I mean, in the past 4 years, we're expecting bad campaigns, bad seasons in general for them. And this year, obviously, after that, you know, tremendous display we saw last year, there's going to be overhype, but I still don't think it's quite enough for where you see other teams going into their seasons, like the Blue Jays and the Leafs. I don't think it's enough to where it should be to get the TV ratings up, because we know that those haven't been so high in the past years or so. And I'm sure it's going to get higher this year.
Yeah, I will be interested in seeing how the momentum this team and this organization built during the playoffs, how it continues through. We'll get a little taste tonight. I mean, that arena was loud during the postseason. And we'll get a taste tonight about how much energy is still left over from that playoff run. I'm not saying I expect the arena. Well, actually, I am. I expect the ACC to be as loud tonight, frankly, as it was during the playoffs. And with this team having 9 of its first 12 games at home, I think the crowd is going to be, and I'm not one of these people that says a crowd is hugely important, with this team having 9 of those first 12 games at home, I think the crowd's going to have a big role in it. The crowd's going to have a big role in the energy here. Rick in Toronto, very quickly, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, love the show. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you, Rick.
I just wanted to say, you know, the East got a lot better this year, and just because the Raptors might not win 48 games, they could win less, doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to get better. I think the true test for this team is to go deeper into the playoffs, because that's where they need to develop as a unit. And no, I don't think you guys are overhyping it at all, because quite honestly, when's the last time Toronto had a sports team to be hyped up about, and rightfully so?
Yeah, Rick, we're right up against it here. You're absolutely right. Again, I don't have any problem hyping this team. I think hype is fun, and in this case, this is a fun team to hype. That's it for us. Hockey Central at noon is next. Have a great day, everybody.